Roshni Bhatt. It took a punctured tire in one of the rural villages of Kenya during a family holiday with my mom and a chance encounter with a helpful lady in her 50s, with disabling cataracts to make me see the devastation a simple untreated eye condition had left on her family. Here I was a newly qualified optometrist in the middle of nowhere without a local high street optician or nearby eye hospital to direct her to. In fact, I had heard of similar backstories throughout the years of traveling to Africa and a lot of people needing medical attention, especially when it came to their eye health. Yet due to a lack of funds, resources and education, very little was done. I soon learned this issue was not just exclusive to Kenya, rather it spanned throughout many parts of Africa. It had become easier to forget there were areas of dire poverty when you were viewing the beauty of the rugged wilderness from a private balcony of your luxury safari lodge. I didn't quite see this picture back in England, nor did I think it was affecting millions. One patient called Fatima was followed throughout the whole visual journey from her screening to receiving a cataract surgery, which enabled her to continue with her tailoring work and provide for her family. The happiness she experienced was raw and inspiring. The picture in the UK, in contrast, was very different. Patients could be referred and treated promptly for eye conditions no matter how minor or major they were, and I began to become disillusioned when it came to the commercialistic nature of many high street practices. The routine began to lose its shiny new excitement several years down the line, as I found myself on the next plane back to Kenya with a mission of helping an ophthalmologist and his team on several rural outreach projects. Little did I know equipment was going to be basic, such as attaching testing charts to the trunks of trees and placing pieces of papers on windows to darken the testing rooms. I had to train the optical technicians on common procedures such as how to use a slit lamp, a retinoscope, and how to dispense reading glasses based on age and lifestyle. The remarkable lines of villagers queuing for our assistance made it obvious there was a critical issue within these communities. It was overwhelming as we all worked around the clock, separating patients into groups by ocular conditions such as cataracts and glaucoma to more serious tropical eye diseases, such as parasitic infections and HIV, something I would have never come across in the UK. The queues would continue to build up and many patients were promised operations the next day. Sadly, a lot of people just lived with their condition, seeing no other way. The number of locals that assumed blindness and took early retirement in their late 40s was astounding, when all it took was a pair of ready readers to enhance their lives. Further work led me to participate where I could and in places I'd never knew existed, such as one outreach project in northern Zambia, on an island called Kasumalanga. It was an intrepid four-hour boat journey through a crocodile-infested lake where our boat managed to get lodged into swampy grasses, making it quite an ordeal. That, paired with the dehydration and unbearable heat, gave us all quite a relief once we arrived on the muddy shores of the island and were greeted by hordes of excited villagers that had never seen any non-local inhabitants. My teammates and I got to work in a small straw hut as we dispensed distance glasses to Nasin, a farmer whose appreciation made it obvious to us we'd made a positive change to his life, the same with a fisherman called Gazumbe who simply needed a pair of sunglasses to protect him from the glare. Not only this, work in rural villages taught me a valuable lesson about my life. After seeing a group of jovial kids running around in the dusty roads of the Zambian villages, I noticed one of them approaching playfully to show me his watch. I was taken aback. It was one made out of paper with a clock face scribbled on, forever pointing to 3 p.m. He was the happiest kid I'd seen in a long time. That's when I realized happiness is not found in material items, as I gazed down at my own Michael's Kors watch, which I refuse to wear now. In England, I'd been so caught up in buying the latest fashion accessory or the newest gizmo, which only made me more miserable in the long run. When I took a step back, it gave me a brand new perspective, broadened my horizons, and in turn humbled me. Volunteering can be challenging, yet give you an opportunity to make a difference to someone's life by putting your skills to good use in a hands-on manner. Just imagine how you could positively impact communities, socially and economically. Besides that, you can really capture something unique and memorable that can last a lifetime and even beyond.